We're going to begin this morning with a flight of fancy.
That's Crabtree. Touchdown, 49ers.
In this Super Bowl week, the hype of which is so inescapable, it sometimes seems as if we're supposed to believe Columbus sailed to America to found the NFL or something like that. So in the interest of all of you who may be determined to watch Downton Abbey this Sunday evening...
Don't worry. There are plenty of hours in the day. And of course I'll have the weekend.
What is a weekend?
And for those of you concerned about a growing number of lawsuits against the NFL, which we'll talk about in just a moment, let's, for a moment, imagine a world without football. We wouldn't be able to say the whole nine yards or moving the goalposts.
I'm tiring of politicians using terrorism as a political football.
A lot of things would just go away. Sunday sports would go back to this.
Doherty had the bowl 72 games over 6 days just to get here.
The bowling finals. Imagine John Madden doing the commentary for that.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, he not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
There would be no John Madden or Terry Bradshaw.
I got to reflecting, hasn't it been a grand season? We've had so much fun. How about them Cowboys?
That might be good. Some of you out there would welcome a football-free world. What? No Ducks?
Hello, Rachel from Eugene, Oregon. And I'll tell you what, if there was no football in this world, this town would be a blessedly quiet, friendly, kind place.
Halftime shows, gone.
It's halftime, America.
Halftime reports, gone. Two-minute warning, gone. Marching bands, gone. That's a big one.
Some of the best experiences I had in high school and college were playing on the high school marching band and again on the college marching band. Had a good time, met a lot of people, and made a lot of lifelong friends. So without football, I guess there wouldn't have been any marching band.
And more of us would spend Sundays in church. Which would be a good thing. But the word football would go back to referring only to this. That would hurt in America. About the only one solidly better off if football vanished.
How about practicing a few place kicks?
Oh, brother.
Charlie Brown.
Where's everybody? We're supposed to have a ball game today. Don't tell me everyone stayed home.
But Lucy would probably find some other way to torture him, right? So this little dream sequence is a whimsical way of raising a very serious issue for the NFL in this Super Bowl week. The NFL has acknowledged that it is under immense pressure to respond to charges that conditions for players are unsafe, that serious head and body injuries abound, and that the league isn't serious about protecting the physical and mental health of players and their families. Today, the union representing NFL players announces that it has chosen Harvard University to lead a $100 million study to research, treat, and eventually attempt to prevent injuries and other health problems for its members. Dr. Lee Nadler is co-director of the study and dean for clinical and translational research at Harvard Medical School. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
This is a players' initiative. I guess I'm surprised that it would have taken the players this long to focus on the sort of medical consequences of playing a sport that is so obviously physically punishing.
I think that the players have long understood the problem. But in 2011, when they negotiated the contract right out of the lockout, they took their own money, $11 million a year of their own salaries and bonuses, to put it toward that. That was the transformative moment. They would pay for their own research. What we're going to do is try to provide data, real data from real players rather than an occasional dead player or a suicide. What's the true health of the whole player in their whole life. Mm. What we're going to do is we're going to recruit where they live 1,000 previous NFL players, people around 10 years out. There's about 7,000 or 8,000 of those players. And then in their localities, partnering with the Research Centers for Minority Institutions to see them and evaluate them, take histories, get previous drug histories, what medications they've taken, what injuries they've had, and then orthopedic testing, cardiac testing, neurologic testing, neuropsychiatric testing. and try to identify across this nation, balancing for both position and length of playing, the 100 previous NFL players who are extremely well and 100 that are very unwell, call it unhealthy. And we will find, because we know it's true already, that people who will have played the same position for the same number of years are completely at the other ends of the spectrum. And what we really want to do is, who's at risk? How do we mitigate risk? How do we prevent injury? If there is an injury, diagnose it early. And then how do we treat it? And if we do that, I think we will change the nature of this game without ever changing the rule book.
I admire your enthusiasm here, and obviously you're, you know, right out in front on an initiative that will no doubt have benefits for NFL players. But as a healthcare professional and as someone who typically answers the call of need on a lower level than someone pointing a gun at their chest, killing themselves, and then insisting in a letter to the people who survive, please look at my brain. I know there's something wrong. I can't go on living. That's the Junior Seau story. Right. The idea that that brought this kind of thing about really sort of underscores that Americans, you know, they love the entertainment value of their athletes and aren't so concerned about the health of them.
Well, you know, I think they are much more concerned because as the press has seized upon these issues in the last several years, there's ever-increasing interest and consternation about, you know, how can we let these people – I love Junior Seau. I felt terrible when I heard that something happened to him. I think the public is interested. I mean, you listen to our president say that he wouldn't let his son play football. When the president of the United States is willing to come out with comments like that, we really need to do a better job.
Do you envision a possible transitional moment out there when people will say, you know, this sport is just too brutal. It's going to go away, maybe go the way of boxing, which faded away for very different reasons. But still, could football end up that way?
I'm a big football fan, and I don't think so. I think that if we attend to the health of the player and if we, in fact, observe some things that will mitigate and decrease and prevent the problems that we're seeing, I think the sport would be in a lot better shape. I don't think helmets have been appropriately studied. I don't think a lot of things, of decisions that have been made, may be the optimal ones. But we really need to partner with the players. And to be quite honest, we need to partner with the NFL. And just every single day say the health of the player and the health of our children come first.
All right. Well, it may be as important as anything that's happening down in New Orleans on this Super Bowl weekend, thinking about a brand new study at Harvard, $100 million to research, treat, and eventually attempt to prevent injuries and other health problems for NFL players. Dr. Lee Nadler is co-director of the study and dean for clinical and translational research at the Harvard Medical School. Dr. Nadler, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.